Thanks for listening to the Mornings with Carmen LaBurge podcast, made available thanks to support from listeners just like you.
Inspiring you to bring God back into the conversation of the day. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio.
If we're gonna fly, we fly like eagles. Arms out wide. If we're gonna fear, we fear no evil. We will rise. By your power, we will go. By your spirit, we are bold. If we're gonna stand, we stand as giants. If we're gonna walk, we walk as lions.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I am Carmen LaBurge. This is Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. It is so wonderful to be with you. I'd like to know, where we are and what we're doing. So where are you listening? And what are we up to? What are we doing? Are we on our way to work? Are we on our way to school? Maybe it's like final exam week. Maybe we are, who was on the text line earlier and was like, okay, I really shouldn't try to text while holding a grandbaby that's pulling my hair. Yeah, but see, I love knowing that. Maybe we're getting ready for the day. Maybe we are out for a walk. That's normally how Kim is listening. And so what are you up to? Where are we? Where are you taking me today during Mornings with Carmen? I'd like to know. Jessica's generally walking Newman. David is generally on his route as a U.S. postal worker. I know my friend Benji is listening and he's already moving dirt. Like, right. He's a heavy equipment operator. So, get that dirt going in the right direction this morning. Where are you? How are you listening? Or where are you listening? What are we doing? I'd like to know. The text line is open. 877-933-2484. Emily is texting from Virginia, where the pollen is in full force. I just walked outside and my white car is now green, but thankful that the sun is out. My white car, Emily, I will include this in the Friday Farm Report now, since we have arrived at that point in our conversation. I have washed my car 3 times this week, not because of pollen, but because we have 2 crazy bluebirds who are fighting with one another, and the context of their fight are the windows of my car. And I don't know what is going on, and I don't know how to get them to stop. But they're basically like beating themselves to death, and it's just the craziest thing. So anyway, my heart goes out to you that you have to clean pollen off your car. I will be washing my car again today to remove the bird debris. I don't even know how 2 little bluebirds can create so much personal debris. There you go. Ooh, we are baking sourdough in the kitchen, in the 320 area code. Okay, 320, let's see. I'm scrolling back on the text line to see if I can see your name on here, and I don't see it. So if you just texted in and you're making sourdough bread, when your hands get to the point where you can text again, tell me your name. That would be awesome. We are headed to church to lead the ladies' Pilates class with Peggy. Well, that sure is fun. Thank you for letting us know. We are walking dogs with Andrew. Oh, yes. Mostly, we're always walking dogs with Andrew because Andrew is a dog walker, and that is so fun. Walking dogs this morning, listening to you on my phone on the speaker so everyone else can hear. Well, good morning to all of you walking around with Andrew. Corey is listening in Minneapolis, where he is serving as a safety patrol. It's a ministry outreach. I love that, Corey. Thank you for checking in. Paul and Denise checking in as well, getting ready to set out on part 2 of their cruise. Oh, well, isn't that nice? Excellent. Thank you so much. Carla, it's Carla listening in Hutchinson, Minnesota, baking sourdough bread in her kitchen. So I don't know if you live in proximity to Carla, there's the promise of bread later today. Maybe you show up with your own like rhubarb jam. If I were eating your sourdough bread, Carla, I would want it like still warm. Like, and with a little butter, but mostly with just rhubarb jam, just slathered on there like crazy. Oh, my goodness. That sounds so good. Mary is snuggling with her cats. That sure is fun. Rich, who's a structural engineer, is designing a school today. Oh, I totally want to be in on that. Thank you so much. All right. We are headed to Crafts Direct before they close in St. Cloud. All right. Well, there you go. That's a fun thing for us to be doing. Peggy says, thank you to the reminder from Carla that I need to feed my sourdough. Well, there you go. I need to feed my my kombucha starter. Yeah, there you go. By the way, I should include this. Oh, we're taking a granddaughter to the orthodontist. I mean, on and on and on. You guys are so great. All right, what are we doing? As I have joined you this morning, where are you taking me? All right. I'm praying with my four-year-old. I love that. 23 days left in the school year, so headed to school. Happy and joyful in the Lord. My nannying job where I get to pray for little four-year-olds to be kind and nice to each other. Well, there you go. Fantastic. See, they're just rolling in. I can't stop myself. Heading off to celebrate our year-end study of the Gospel of John with a potluck breakfast with over 80 other women. I want to come to a potluck breakfast. I would bring biscuits because you would bring what? You would bring rhubarb jam and I would bring biscuits and Carla would bring sourdough and we would be having so much fun. Julie is making chocolate espresso cupcakes for her mother-in-law's B-Day. Well, happy B-Day and so much fun. All right. On and on and on and on. Okay. You guys are so great. Hit me up on the text line. If you're brand new, just text the word welcome to 877-933-2484. No, this is not always what we do on Friday, but it's what we're doing today on Friday. So there you go. Friday includes the Friday farm report. And so in the farm report, I have already discussed the situation with the bluebirds. The cows are so, so happy. Jim and I moved a temporary fence out into what used to be it is technically, you know, the deer plot, you know, where you have all of this food sown in over the winter for the deer. But the deer didn't really need all that food. So the cows have been munching away on turnips and oats and clover and alfalfa. And they are so, so happy. However, I walked through a nest of chiggers while we were moving that temporary fence. And so I've been suffering with that. The little chicks that have been in the garage have now been moved to the small coop, and so they are so, so happy. Our strawberries are ripe, and so we've been picking and eating strawberries for the last week or so. And as already discussed with Dan DeWitt, the cicadas are beginning to emerge. This will be a part of the Friday Farm Report for the next month or so, because as the cicadas emerge, they are going to, it's going to become deafening. And so it should be a fun experience. I don't even know. It's possible that we'll hear them. It'll be like a low rumble in the background of the show in coming weeks. It ought to be fun. All right. I love that you guys are letting me know where we are and what we're doing. Hey, we're with Rick loading a truck with potato chips, hoping for nice grilling weather and great chip sales this weekend. All right, Rick. Thank you so much for that report. Chris is heading home from the night shift. All right. Sleep well, Brother Chris. Sleep well. Sleep well. On and on and on and on. Thank you so much. Oh, Jennifer, what are chiggers? Oh, yes, dear. Mm-hmm. That's a whole conversation in and of itself. All right. More together in just a moment. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge. The Friday Farm Report is going to be supplemented here in just a moment with, yes, some big headlines today from a Christian worldview. That's up next on Mornings with Carmen. Paul Perot and I have decided that the best way to describe chiggers to people that don't live in chigger-infested territories are they're like land piranha.
They are fierce, I hear. I've not experienced it, but they can be. I have plenty of friends, including you, who lives down south, and when you get swarmed by them, it's like they just almost eat you alive.
Yeah, it's like land piranha.
It's gnats on steroids. Let's put it that way.
So it's just so awful. Okay, So I do have other things to talk about other than my own experience of itching. Although, thank you to everybody that's texting in where we are and what we're doing. I totally love being included in your day. And so thank you. Thank you so much. I love that we're, you know, we're headed to school. We're headed in from the night shift. Mike is driving a big truck, picking up recycling in Duluth. That is so fun. We're going to a big event with Shirley today with her grandkids. I love that. Baseball game. A friend in the 707 who says, hey, I'm just finishing up breakfast and ready for my 45-mile drive to work for a senior lunch program. I love that. I love that you're still getting up and going and doing wonderful work on behalf of the Lord, all those good works he's prepared in advance for you to do. We're headed to middle school in East Central Minnesota with a school counselor. So thank you, Aaron, for checking in there. I mean, just on and on and on and on. I love it. So thank you so much for taking me along today. Carrie in Superior, Wisconsin is getting the high school fields ready for today's lacrosse and baseball games. Praising the Lord continuously, talking and walking with him as I work. I mean, thank you, Carrie. How fun is that? I love that you're doing that. So those white lines, you know, those are really important. As a person who played a lot of softball, putting those, you know, putting those lines down correctly is important to everyone. So we could have a whole conversation about foul balls. Okay. There are some headlines out there that I think we should attend to from a Christian worldview. Just a couple of them. The first one is related to abortion. In every state across the country, since the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the Dobbs decision by the Supreme Court, literally every state in the country is making some kind of decision related to abortion, either abortion restrictions or abortion access, depending on how you think about it. And so in Arizona, there was a Civil War era law technically still on the books. And the Supreme Court there said, yeah, I mean, that is still the law on the books. And so, yes, I mean, theoretically, that law could be applied. And so it didn't take very long for the legislature to say, OK, well, yeah, we don't want that. We don't want that Civil War era law. And so they worked to repeal it. So that has happened. That law has been repealed. That would have it basically criminalized abortion for anything except for saving the life of the mother. And so now the status in Arizona, which, you know, it takes some time for all of the timelines to work themselves out. But basically, the law of the land in Arizona is going to be a 15-week ban. So after 15 weeks of pregnancy, it would be illegal to terminate the life of an unborn child. So here's my question. Do you even know the current standard or status in your own state? Do you care? Are you paying attention? Are you actively supporting a pro-life pregnancy center in your state and efforts to support pregnant moms for at least the first 1,000 days? So from conception until a child's second birthday, that's actually the standard globally. The United States of America supports pregnant women and their little children for 1,000 days. Did you know that? Did you know that globally we are committed to supporting a mom and her unborn child for 1,000 days? What kind of support might that look like here in the United States? What if you suggested that at your church? Meanwhile, a church in Dallas, Texas has actually launched a pregnancy resource center that is not particularly pro-life. Think about that. The First Unitarian Church of Dallas opened a pregnancy resource center this week, providing, quote, comprehensive reproductive health information and counseling. They call it the Truth Pregnancy Resource Center. And in addition to offering sonograms and pregnancy tests and, yes, resources for adoption, they are also offering access to out-of-state abortion resources, because in Texas, it is illegal to have an abortion for many cases. And so you might say to yourself, well, that seems a little bit crazy for the church to be supporting abortion. But let me just say this. Progressive or mainline denominations, churches have been supportive of abortion for generations. Like, we are where we are today in no small measure because mainline Christians have openly supported abortion and abortion access in the United States. And that might surprise you, because you might be somebody who has been worshiping at a Presbyterian or a United Methodist or a UCC or ELCA or Episcopal church. And you might be surprised that your denominations are
wildly pro-abortion. They're also very, very actively redefining marriage and all kinds of diverse sexual identities. And so most recently, the United Methodist Church took action to overturn their 40-year ban on gay clergy. That just happened on Wednesday. They've also redefined marriage to include couples that are not, it's not one man and one woman. They're not one biological man and one biological woman. They have redefined marriage now in the United Methodist Church and ended their official condemnation of homosexuality and sexually diverse clergy. As goes the main line, so goes the culture. Let me just say that again. As goes the main line, we talk about mainline Christianity. As goes the main line, so goes the culture. I actually started talking about this and writing about this nearly 10 years ago. The latest expression is what's happening on our college campuses today. You might be hearing in the news language of BDS, boycott, divest, and sanction. Guess where that was born? Guess where that grew up? It grew up in mainline Christianity here in the United States. So let's talk about that headline next. How we got here as a country? Well, as goes the main line, so goes the nation. We got here step by step, and the church led the way. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen.
This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. Maybe you have a loved one that you've been praying for years, and they still haven't trusted Jesus. Or maybe you have a loved one who once had a vibrant faith but has since walked away. If this is true for you, know this. You're not alone. God sees you. He loves you. And He knows about the heartache you feel. And we care about it too. I've recorded 15 audio clips to encourage your soul. Text the word HEART to 877-933-2484.
All right. I am Carmen LaBurge. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. Where are you worshiping? Where have you worshiped along the way? What kind of church did you grow up in, if you grew up in church? When we talk about mainline Christianity, do you know what we're referring to? Because the big headlines, or one of the big headlines across the country today, is related to the United Methodist Church and a decision made by the UMC to change their, you know, historic definition of marriage, the definition that would be biblical, and instead embrace a cultural definition of marriage that is aligned with, you know, the ways of the world today. They have also redefined who may serve as ordained clergy in the United Methodist Church. And when we have this conversation, we have it in context of the fact that the United Methodist Church has also, like every other mainline denomination, now gone through a process of evangelical or biblically committed congregations departing and aligning themselves with more evangelical expressions. And so the global Methodists is the newer expression. And so you're probably having that conversation in your local church. If you are a member of a Methodist church, then you already know what we're talking about today, but the rest of the world may not know. And the United Methodist Church has been the, you know, second to the Southern Baptist Convention in terms of size and scope in the United States. And so it matters. These conversations matter. And so when we see the headlines related to what's happening on college campuses across the country, you might be asking yourself, how in the world did we get here? Well, we didn't just get here because of the way those universities have trended in recent years. We got here because the students at those universities, if they were raised in the church, they were raised in mainline churches. And they learned in those mainline churches to hate Israel. I mean, and there's not an easier way to say that. So the Boycott, Divest, and Sanction campaign has its roots in a United Nations event that took place in 2001. And there were some 1,500 NGOs, non-governmental organizations, NGOs, who got together. Mainline Protestant churches from the United States of America led the way. And
And so this has been unrolling in mainline Christianity now for 23 years. And so how did we get here? We got here step by step and vote by vote and boycott by boycott of Israeli academic, cultural, and consumer institutions, divestment from companies doing business with Israel, sanctions against Israel that are both economic and diplomatic, on and on and on and on and on. So the churches became religious institutions. I mean, this is actually from the BDS strategist playbook. Here's a quote. Religious institutions are seen in many communities as embodying important moral and ethical principles. Divestment campaigns that target companies, such as Caterpillar, have been initiated in a number of major Christian churches. Not only will successful divestment campaigns financially weaken the quote-unquote occupation, just look at that language, okay, but will raise public profile and legitimacy of the BDS campaign by co-opting Christian churches. So my experience with this was within the PCUSA, the Presbyterian Church, United States of America. And I remember in March of 2002 when the PCUSA, you know, began condemning then Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Israel itself in relationship to Palestinians. We've been at this for a long time in the PCUSA and in the Episcopal Church and in the United Methodist Church and on and on and on and on and on. And so if you wonder how we got here, this is how we got here. Step by step, vote by vote, act by act, the Episcopal Church, the UCC, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the PCUSA. And so in Sunday school, in camps and conferences, these young people that are at these elite universities today, these are the churches. If they were raised in church, these are the churches that raised them. If these students went to church, these are the churches they attended. Their perception of how you bring institutional change has been forged at meetings of their own denominations, where the exact tactics that you're seeing played out on university campuses have been playing out at General Assembly or General Conference meetings for more than 20 years. We taught them this at church. And now we're reaping the consequences in the culture. And so your theology of Israel matters. What you are teaching your children about Israel and about the Jews matters. Anti-Semitism is learned as much at the dinner table as it is in the halls of Congress. And so even as Congress is seeking to amplify the definition of what it means to be anti-Semitic and help people better understand what hate speech really is, we got to be talking together with one another about it as well. So, what is your theology of Israel? How do you view the Jews? How do you understand the relationship of Jews and Christians? There are lots of views among Christians of Israel today. And so, how do you understand historically and biblically Israel as an ethnic people group to whom God made an everlasting covenant? And how do you understand that in relationship to the modern state of Israel? No longer a biblical theocracy, but a secular state. And you say to yourself, that might be more than I want to think about today. It might be more than you want to think about, but it was also more than the secular German Christians wanted to think about in the days of the Holocaust. Holocaust Remembrance Day is coming up this next week. And we can't forget what happened, and we can't turn away from what's happening today. Lest the sins of the past be repeated in the present. Kim Dolan Leto is a good friend of ours, and she helps us turn our attention really toward ourselves in a positive way. Like, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So I want you just to take a minute. This might be uncomfortable, but look at the temple. How's the temple looking today? If your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit,
How's your temple looking today? How's your temple feeling today? How's your temple functioning today? Kim joins us from time to time, and today we're going to talk about how to stop self-sabotaging our fitness goals. I don't know about you, but this is one of my sins. I am a self-saboteur when it comes to my body, which is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk with Kim about that next. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. You meant to work out. You planned to work out. You meant to eat well. You thought about choosing the raw vegetables instead of the French fries. Yeah, but you didn't do it. Have you been sabotaging your fitness goals? Do we just need to start wearing our workout clothes to bed so we have fewer excuses when we get up in the morning? What are some ways that you and I can stop self-sabotaging our fitness goals? Our friend Kim Dolan-Leto is joining us from Fit God's Way. Kim, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Carmen. Thank you so much for having me. I hope we can help our listeners today get free from this trap, right?
No, absolutely. Me too. This is Carmen's Me Too Me Too conversation. What is self-sabotage?
Oh my gosh. I think this is the eye-opening aspect of this, right? And I did a part two to this because this podcast, I did it on the Strong Confident His podcast called How to Stop Self-Sabotaging Your Weight Loss and Fitness Goals. Because all or nothing thinking is a form of self-sabotage. I never knew that. And when you think of fitness, like if fitness had an anthem, wouldn't it be all or nothing? Like that is it, right? So I was researching, Carmen, this is so shocking. I was researching, why do we do this? Like why? And let's just say out of the gate, okay, even Paul from the Bible says, like, why do I do what I do, oh wretched man? Like we are in the flesh. So that we are never going to have arrived this side of heaven, right? But we can come up much higher. We can do much better. But in really researching self-sabotage, I found these, listen to this. It says, the reason we self-sabotage is that it allows us to predict what is going to happen, which gives us the illusion of self-control. Another source said that this form of self-control, albeit negative, reassures our deep-seated beliefs that we are a failure. By choosing to sabotage, we predict the outcome and oddly enough, feel in control. And then one more calm wrote, people with low self-esteem often use self-sabotage as a means to make their reality align with their inner beliefs. It's a defense mechanism. So if they mess up intentionally, they feel like they're in control of their failure or that it's just an expected flaw of their character. And when I read all of this, I just think worth. Like, do you see like low self-esteem? I'm like, okay, that's a worth issue. Like, and so much of self-sabotage is rooted in trauma. It's like we are causing ourselves to fail because we are in agreement with something that someone said about us, that the enemy has made us believe about ourselves. Instead of knowing and accepting the forgiveness and grace of Jesus, I often tell people, sweetheart, you don't need, like, because I have a female audience and like fit sister in Christ, you don't need to like worry about losing weight off the scale. For like the first weight you need to lose is the weight off your heart, because when we can go to those roots of self-sabotage, the roots of trauma in us, and we can take Jesus there and maybe forgive someone, maybe come out of agreement with the things that we tell ourselves, because so often in this fitness journey, we've done it in the world, we've done it the wrong way. So we're telling ourselves, hey, you know, I'm a failure. I've tried everything. Nothing works. What's the point? But that is not what Jesus says about you. That is not what the word of God says about you. You know, we are an overcomer in Christ, and we need to, our victory is in Jesus. And so we can do and feel so much better and form a proper and healthy relationship, a godly relationship with food and fitness and our body image. Because right now, if you're living in this self-sabotage, all or nothing thinking, that is worldly, and worldly means without God. And we don't want to do it that way.
We're talking with Kim Dolan Leto. You can find what we're talking about at kimdolanleto.com. There's a blog posted there, but there's also a couple of really wonderful podcasts related to this. Let me just walk through some examples that Kim lists here and help you find yourself in this. So if you already know that you are a self-saboteur, like I know I am, so then let us find ourselves in this list. So for you, because self-sabotage is typically rooted in trauma. And so do you have a history of abuse? And are you emotionally overeating because you don't want to deal with those emotions? Are you using food to numb the pain and to help you feel calm? Maybe you're unhappy. And so you're dealing with unhappiness by overindulging. Maybe you have a genuine eating disorder and you have developed that eating disorder because it actually gives you the illusion of control. And maybe you feel like you're unlovable. Now, you know that's a lie. I mean, as a Christian, you know that's a lie. You are deeply and supremely loved. But somewhere along the way, it's possible you were made to feel like no one would ever really love you. And so what's the point? And maybe that is rooted in a trauma of abandonment or rape or being cheated on. Some experience of rejection where you have developed a sense of shame and worthlessness. What is your reason, the cause of your self-sabotage? And then we want to call that out, and we want to name it. We want to identify it so that then we can let God deal with it. So self-sabotage is somehow in some way giving you and I the illusion of self-control by predicting the outcome of failure, right? And then we fulfill this self-fulfilling. We is a self-fulfilling negative prophecy. So again, Kim Dolan Leto is here to help us work through this. So how do we, Kim, start by allowing God to intervene?
Well, we need to recognize it, first of all, and we need to, I believe that we need to ask God, be prayerful. What is the root of this self-destructive behavior? And then ask the Holy Spirit to point out how it's manifesting in your day. How is it showing up in your day and in your habits? And honestly, I've had to tell a lot of the women that I work with, maybe you need to think about going to a Christian counselor, because a lot of women have had an abuse in their life that makes them want to gain weight because they don't want to be attractive because they were abused, or someone told them they were the ugly fat sister. And so they are just like, that's who I am. And they've worn someone else's words instead of wearing their identity in Christ. And I want people to put on that worth and that identity in Jesus. So I teach, you know, people to go to the Word of God. If you feel rejected, God says you're accepted in the Beloved. You know, if you feel like you're worthless and no one would want you, there are scriptures that line the pages of the Bible that say you're loved, that you're chosen, that you're set apart, that you're worthy, that you're called, you know, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And we can hear these scriptures and not put them into first person, but I think it's very important. And I have a free guide on kimdolanleto.com. If you download it, there's worth scriptures in there to pray back. Like, God, you said I'm loved, you know? So if, when we are in these situations that cause us to self-sabotage, we need to pinpoint what it is. And then we need to replace the statements we tell ourselves. I'm not rejected. I'm accepted. I'm not when we tell ourselves nobody would want me because I'm too old or it's too late, it's like, no, God has a plan and a purpose for me. He has a hope and a future for me. So we need to take the word of God and wash our thinking in those spaces where we have allowed the enemy and the world to shape how we feel about ourselves. Because when we're in this cycle of self-sabotage, we are at war with ourselves. And there's so much, it's just like a yoke of failure that we wear. And we're Christian women. Christian women and men on this show, we're not supposed to feel that way. We're supposed to be, you know, our victory is in Christ Jesus. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 15:57 that says that. So you can have victory over this, and maybe victory over this just looks like, you know what, when I'm going to choose to indulge in things, I'm going to do that with intention, and I'm going to choose to have peace when I do it. I'm not going to beat myself up about it, because the world has caused this very twisted, unhealthy, perverted relationship with food that we're good when we eat good and we're bad when we eat bad, but God never meant for any of that. We are to eat with thanksgiving from a grateful heart and not a gluttonous one. So we could talk all day about this, Carmen.
We could. I think we should continue talking about this. If you're listening right now and you have a particular question or concern, you'd like clarification on something, you just want some encouragement on this, are you a self-saboteur when it comes to your weight loss and your fitness goals? Sister, I'm right there with you. Okay. So let me just say, this is not Kim and Carmen pointing the finger at anybody. This is us recognizing that there are triggers out there. There are temptations that we find ourselves habitually tripping over and into. And there are pathways forward out of self-sabotage. And so we're going to talk next about some of the common triggers and some of the ways that you and I can set ourselves up for success and not another failure. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. Thank you for being a friend. I mean, thank you for showing up and thank you for giving sacrificially. I'm thinking here about the song, Thank You for Being a Friend. If I threw a party and invited everyone I knew, look, you actually showed up. The song says the biggest gift would be from me, and the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend. But really, you're the one who showed up with the big gift during our spring fundraiser for Faith Radio. So thank you for being a friend. Thank you for walking with us in this ministry. Thank you for praying each and every day that God would get the glory and God would advance his kingdom through this ministry of encouragement and equipping and empowering. I hope you are all of those things through the ministry of Faith Radio. I hope that you are encouraged and equipped and empowered to walk your faith out into the world that God so loves and to do so in ways that honor Jesus. To him be the glory, and thanks be to you. Thank you for being a friend. If you weren't able to give yet, you can still give now at myfaithradio.com or by texting the word give to 877-933-2484. Thanks again for being a friend. All right. Are you a self-saboteur when it comes to your weight loss and fitness goals? I am. This is where I live. This conversation with Kim Dolan-Leto is such a gift. I'm hoping it's a gift to you as well. Thank you so much for those of you jumping in on the text line with a range of concerns. Kim, this is not just a women's issue, and this is not just an issue with those of us who overeat. This can be an issue that manifests in things like anorexia as well. It's not always about weight loss. It is about treating our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit and all of the range of concerns therein. So we have people on the text line raising a number of self-sabotage concerns. And so just going to encourage you to continue to address those. Yes, those of you looking for the link, I am, Paul and I are actively answering you with that. The text line is open, 877-933-2484. Kim, self-sabotage comes in many forms.
Yes. So I really identified that, I call it the three T's of self-sabotage, because there are moments And I'm so glad that you pointed out it's not just a weight loss. It's a weight loss issue. For me, it's a thinking issue. It's where we are not, our alignment is not with God. Where is our thinking not lining up with the word of God? We need to fix that, right? So mm-hmm. it makes the behavior, I call the three T's of self-sabotage. So because nobody wakes up wanting to sabotage themselves. And I am right there raising my hand with you. I mean, this is a battle that I go through every day. So the three T's are, what is your trigger? What is your time? And what is your temptation? And it's identifying those that we...
Okay, is like cheese, can cheese be the answer to number three?
Absolutely.
Okay, so cheese. I'm just going to put cheese right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love how the Song of Solomon 2:15 from the ESV tells us, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. So I like to think of the catch the little foxes, like, what are the thoughts that you're having right before you make the decisions that are going to sabotage you? How could you reframe those thoughts to be what God says about you? Because it's not self-sabotage, Carmen, if you decide to go on a date night with your wife or husband and enjoy a great meal together and even have dessert. There's nothing wrong with that. Right. I feel like fitness made it like you have to eat perfectly. You have to work out perfectly. You're a failure. Suck it up, buttercup. No, all of that is worldly. God wants us to treat our bodies like a temple, to take care of them, not to worship them. So we often have triggers, and maybe a trigger is scrolling through social media. Maybe it's like a girl, Jen, that I talk about in this blog post, where she would do well all day long. And then, you know, at the end of the day, when her kids were asleep and her husband was in bed, she would find herself going to the refrigerator or the pantry and eating to like numb her feelings. It was the first time all day long that she finally felt like she could just let her hair down, literally, like, okay, I did everything. This is my me time. I just want to eat. I just want to like, and she said, I felt like I just wanted to put like food in my, like stuff my face, because it made me feel like this sense of like, relief. Like but really she was numbing herself. So her trigger was like, she had, that was like, it wasn't that she was really hungry. It was that she was feeding her emotions. And then we also found out that she was skipping her afternoon snack. So she was a little hungry. Like whenever we say, I'm doing so well today, I'm not going to eat this or that, you're just setting yourself up for failure later on in the day. This is a side note. Skipping meals and skipping food is only going to make you make bad choices later, like unhealthy choices, because whoever chooses healthy food when you're starving at the end of the day, right? So there's just little triggers and times, like let's say it's stress. Let's say it's that morning pastry that you're like, you're grabbing your coffee and you're like, oh, I didn't eat breakfast. That looks so good. Could you have gotten up 10 minutes earlier and, you know, maybe had made your breakfast the night before and had your little overnight oats and time with God? There's little things we can do during the day to just tweak our behavior a little bit. And really, really focus on what we're thinking about, because what is your trigger? What is your time? You know, it's these harmless things that we think aren't sabotaging our health. But I'm telling you, our health comes down to these little choices every day. What are we choosing that is not what we really want to do? And how could we choose better? And how could we think better? How could we think godly thoughts here?
So, I have things that I know that work for me, and yet I don't always do them, but I'll go ahead and share them anyway. It does actually work for me if I wear my workout clothes to bed. Because once I have them on, I'm less likely to take them off without working out. Like, I'm just saying, like, and they're not that different than pajamas. I mean, you know, a little snugger, but like, right. So that works for me. That is one of my, like, okay, I just, in order to get myself more prepared to succeed. And then the other one is, Kim, I pack a lunch for other people, and it's a good, healthy lunch. And then I don't pack a lunch for myself because I work from home. And so what do I grab? I mean, this is not going to, that nobody's going to be surprised by this. You know, I can't just have a cup of coffee and a piece of cheese. This is not healthy. So I know that. And so when I'm packing I did it this morning because I'm going on a retreat this weekend where I'm responsible to bring my own, like, you know, breakfast and lunch, and then we make dinner together. But because I, like, responsible to take my own breakfast and lunch for the next couple of days, I packed those this morning when I packed Matthew's lunch for school. And so I packed really good, wonderful, healthy things. If I would just do that every day and that would, and I would eat it, like, I'd be more successful, less self-sabotaging.
Well, you'd feel better. Okay. So it's not just about 100%. What we look like, but how we feel.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. My body would work better. Yes.
Yes. You'd have more physical energy. Your mind would have more energy. You know, I want to tell you something that I do that really helps, because I am, you know, I was once overweight. I went through a massive life transformation through the grace of God. I have a worship soundtrack that I play when I work out. Because all I need to hear, like, you have your workout clothes on, all I need to do is put my earbuds in my ear and hear that music. And I'm like, yep, it literally deletes the soundtrack. So if you're listening to secular, like, worldly music when you work out, start listening to Christian music. And, you know, God bless Mandisa. I'm so sad to hear that the way the song Overcomer, I have to say, has been like, I have a group called Fit Sisters in Christ. And if we had, like, that's our song, like, that's our, we're overcomers in Christ. And so, and if you're listening to that instead of, because most people go to the gym or go for a walk and they put in worldly garbage into their mind, which is going to make you compare yourself to your old self, compare yourself to other people. You're not going to be thinking spirit-led thoughts. So the goal is to take that frustrating flesh project of fitness and make it a spirit-led lifestyle. And we do that by guarding our hearts, our, you know, what we're looking at, what we're hearing. So listening to, you know, shows like your show, listening to your radio station, listening to Christian playlists. And I have Christian playlists, by the way, if you want them, they're on Kindle. Go to Spotify and go to Kim Dolan Leto. I have worship playlists for walking and I have workout playlists, but that is, we need to catch ourselves in those moments. And music, I call my worship, my workouts are now a time of worship. So I'm thinking about God. I'm praying for people around. I'm praying for, I'm not working out for what I look like. I'm working out for what I live for. So it's a massive shift in your mindset.
Amen. All right. Yes, if you want the link, just text me 877-933-2484. We're sending the link out. Absolutely. All right. I love you guys. We only have like a minute left. Thank you for all of the checking in you've been doing on the text line today. If you're brand new with us, maybe this is the first time you're listening, or maybe somebody shared the podcast with you and you're like, I think I would like more of that. Text the word welcome to 877-933-2484. Just the word welcome, nothing else, all by itself. Just the word welcome to 877-933-2484. And we will get you connected to all kinds of Faith Radio resources. And we'd like to meet you, you know, as you are meeting us, some of you for the very first time. So thank you, Kim. Thank you to each and every person on the text line right now. Yes, we will send you the link to the materials that we just discussed with Kim Dolan Leto. You can also check it out at kimdolanleto.com. All right, as you get out there into the world that God so loves, go be shiny. He has prepared in advance good works for you to do. So let's go be faithful as we represent Christ to those around us. Have a great weekend and God bless. Thanks for listening to Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Podcasts like this are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes to give now. And thanks.